Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're live from the Minnesota State Fair for Military Appreciation Day with the Minnesota National Guard. And for all our loyal listeners, we usually start the show with a segment called Generally Speaking, which is a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen. But we are in his presence today. We have the boss with us, Major General Jensen. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. I prefer to think I'm in your presence. So welcome to the State Fair. It's great to be with you again.
Well, thank you, General. I don't know what to say to that.
So how many years is it, Tom, that you've been out here in the State Fair with this show?
This, I believe, is our ninth year. Military. It hasn't always been Military Appreciation Day,
right.
But we were out here doing it from the News Talk booth for a while.
Yep.
And, of course, this year, Sergeant Angelo found a nice tent that says Minnesota Military Radio on it.
Which we needed just a couple minutes ago when the hail was flying and the rain was coming down. So, Johnny, good work there.
Little sun shower because we saw the sun over there, General.
Yeah.
Well, General, this has become a tradition at the State Fair the last 4 or 5 years, Military Appreciation Day at the fair, and they've had lots of themes. They had one for Vietnam veterans 1 year and some other things, and today, maybe the most important theme, we were talking about military families.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't think of a better group to highlight and recognize here at the State Fair because, you know, for us, for Cindy and I, coming to the State Fair has always been a family endeavor. And so, you know, to have the opportunity to recognize all of our military families as part of the State Fair, it just makes so much sense to me. And I know we're going to have on a great military family here later in the show, which I'm really looking forward to. But, yeah, great idea, great opportunity to recognize all the hard work, all the love, all the support that we get from our families.
In general, you participated in an event over at the Liney Lodge this morning, and one of our old friends, Mr. Bill Popp, was the MC.
Yes, Bill Popp did a great job. As we were getting ready to start the show, I leaned over to him and said, you know, Tom Lyons makes this look pretty easy, doesn't he? And he was a little worried, but he did a great job. Again, a gentleman who has just done so much to support our military families. And I know military families have a special spot in his heart. So we're very appreciative of everything that him and his wife, Terry, have done for our military families. But most of all, for hosting today's event, because I know that can be a little bit difficult for some people to do.
And, of course, he's the founder and chairman of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And he and his wife, Terry, did the Minnesota Military Family Tribute over at the Capitol, which is just a wonderful opportunity to salute our heroes, our veterans, and their families.
Yeah, that's, you know, I tell everybody, if they haven't taken the opportunity to come over to our Capitol in St. Paul and walk the grounds and look at the memorials, especially the one dedicated to our military families, they're just beautiful. And, you know, what I tell people is that, you know, what they really stand for are memorials to service and to sacrifice. The service and sacrifice that our service members have made, as well as what the service and sacrifices our families have made. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful campus there, especially this time of the year.
We're speaking with Major General John Jensen from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day and Minnesota Military Radio. Sure, I almost got that flipped up. General, I wanted to talk to you. We've been on a deployment basis for a decade, for as long as I've been on the radio, but it seems like the last couple of years it's peaked again. We're going to talk in the next segment about the division just coming back from Kuwait. You had a large group of soldiers down at Fort Hood training for a big training exercise that will lead up to next year going to the National Training Center, NTC. And, of course, the 34th ECAB is getting ready to go out again. You've got a lot of soldiers out and a lot of airmen going out on training missions as well.
Yeah, the next one we got coming up September 20th, we'll have the deployment ceremony for the 34th ECAB. About 750 soldiers from Minnesota will mobilize with the Aviation Brigade there and then go into theater. As you mentioned, the 1st Brigade just came out of Fort Hood, Texas, a month down there doing their exportable collective training event. Did a great job, but yeah, our Air Guard is very active as well. The 148th spent some time in Europe, both in the Netherlands as well as Croatia, this past summer supporting United States Air Force Europe, and also supporting our state partner Croatia. And the 133rd is getting ready to deploy a pretty hefty number of airmen coming up next year, and so. Yeah, it's busy, Tom. It really is. About the time you know, I think I want to say it was January of 18, shortly after I became the adjutant general, we went 1 month where we did not have a unit of the Minnesota National Guard deployed. And then the very next month, it changed, and it's been that way ever since.
So, almost frantic, General.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
well,
going and going.
You know, after 15, 16 years of doing this, I just made this comment today, is that, you know, it's just become part of normal business, and we have to be careful with that because every deployment is unique. Every deployment is special, and every deployment is hard. So whether it's your first deployment or your fourth deployment or your fifth deployment, it's still difficult. And so we got to make sure that we continue to monitor our service members, continue to monitor our families to make sure that we're doing everything that we can do to ensure that our soldiers and airmen are able to serve as reserve component soldiers and airmen.
In general, we had the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion on the show last week, and I asked the question about, is there anybody in the Army or Air National Guard today that doesn't realize that deployments is part of being it? It's no longer, when I was in the Guard after I came back from Vietnam, it was weekends and 2 weeks in the summer, and that was pretty much it, but it's permanently changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've said that the Guard that existed, that I enlisted into in 1982, is gone, and it's gone forever. And I'm not exactly sure what the National Guard's going to be like 10 years from now, but it will be a lot closer, I believe, to what we have today than it will be the Guard of 1982, where literally every year it was drill and annual training at Camp Ripley, drill and training at Camp Ripley, year after year after year. And now, for example, our division headquarters, a small element of them, is going to go to Taiwan next month to support a training exercise there. We've been in Europe. We're in the Pacific Theater. We're doing things in the United States, and so our soldiers and airmen literally are seeing the world, not just strictly through deployments, but also through training exercises, and so. I believe that National Guard is the future of the National Guard, fully engaged not only at the strategic level but at the operational and the tactical level of our two great services.
In general, we've been reporting for nearly 9 years now about all of the support there is back here for your families, from the Yellow Ribbon programs to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. There are lots and lots of groups, tribute to the troops, serving our troops. Here in Minnesota, we're blessed to have most of the population chipping in to make sure that when our troops are deployed, their families are taken care of.
Well, that's what allows us to serve, is that great community support and support from our employers as well. That is what allows the reserve component, the National Guard, soldier and airmen, to be able to balance both and serve our nation and serve our state.
Well, General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by one of your officers from the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, who just got back from Kuwait. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And my co-host for this show is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. In general, we were talking about in the first segment deployments and the fact that you've had a lot of troops out, both Air and Army. And we've got a special guest joining us on this segment who just got back from Kuwait with the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. Would you like to introduce him, sir?
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom. Brigadier General Mike Wickman served as the Deputy Division Commander Maneuver for the 34th Infantry Division while they were in United States CENTCOM AOR. So, ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land, Brigadier General Mike Wickman.
General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
And I haven't seen you. Last time I saw you, you were a colonel, so congratulations on that promotion, sir.
Thank you very much.
And by all accounts, it sounds like you were involved in a very successful deployment, although maybe a little different in scope than the last time you were over there.
Oh, certainly. So the last time I was there, I was actually with 1st of the 34th ABCT. General Jensen and I have spoken about some of the activities for that force. For us, this was certainly a unique mission. things have changed. Things keep changing. And so the division was really faced with kind of disparate units. So we had brigades, both active, reserve, guard, that we commanded throughout the region, CENTCOM AOR, under RCENT, United States Army Central Command. And the missions were wide and varied. Divisions normally sustain, they shape, they manage transitions. And that really is what was nested with the division's responsibilities. Shaping, we spent a lot of time training with the partner nations around the Middle East. Sustaining, just making sure, because the area is so large, you had sustainment, fuel, food requirements, living arrangements you needed to deal with all over, and managing transitions. And even in 10-month period of time, you switched out multiple brigades. We went through an RCENT change of command. We also went through a CENTCOM change of command. And then with the challenges that are in the region right now, things have heated up a little bit. It was a very busy deployment.
So, General, you had about 700 Red Bull soldiers with you?
We did.
And spread across a number of bases, as I understand it?
Yes, that's correct. So the majority of the division was headquartered in Camp Arif John in Kuwait. But we also had them spread out into a few areas, Camp Buring in Kuwait. But then we had a contingent in Jordan. And then smaller elements, primarily liaison, just to coordinate with host nation countries in most of the CENTCOM AOR countries.
So did you do some training with some of those from the military, from some of those countries?
Oh, we did, on a constant basis. So we, in fact, one of the events for the division headquarters was a deployment, a divisional command center deployment training with the Jordanians. It went extremely well, and it really is appreciated. I think that, especially as Red Bulls, they are proficient, competent, some of the best soldiers that are out there. And it is the reception they get from their partner nations is just amazing, and the training is invaluable. If you can do it in a different region, in a different culture, you can do it at home as well. And so I think it's a testament to the organizations that are within the Minnesota National Guard.
We're speaking with Major General John Jensen and Brigadier General Mike Wickman on Minnesota Military Radio from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And General Jensen, you've had your troops deployed over to the Middle East for off and on for many, many years. And I've got to think that when they go back and they see the Red Bull patch, they can remember that all the previous deployments and all the great work that your troops have done over there.
Yeah, I agree, Tom. So I had the opportunity to visit the division twice, once in January and once in May, going back there. And my first time in Kuwait goes all the way back to January of 2001, and to see how that country's changed, how the military presence of the United States military has changed over that time. It's amazing. Mike, the question I wanted to ask you, though, is, so the last time the division was in that theater, there were four divisions in Iraq, the 34th Infantry Division. We had everything south of Baghdad all the way down through Basra. So a large area of operation, but nothing compared to what you guys were operating in this time. How did you manage the great distances that were involved in you conducting your mission over there this time?
With a lot of energy.
Yeah.
That's one of the tough, a phrase in the military is the tyranny of distance. And what that means is the challenges you face trying to provide some type of command and control support over multiple countries, separate languages, different rules and regulations, and massive distances. And so you really do have to, develop those relationships with your subordinate commanders. You have to be able to spend time with them. There's a lot of travel getting around. You certainly want to take advantage of technology whenever you can. Yeah. But in instances like this, you really face-to-face is the only way to do it. Yeah. And so, what we call, getting around the battlefield and spending time with your subordinates is really the only way to do it.
So for people to kind of get an understanding of this, and you may not be able to list all the countries that the division was operating in, but I mean, you've mentioned, obviously, Kuwait. You've mentioned Jordan. Where else did did you guys operate out of, even if it was just for a small period of time for a training exercise, for example?
So the Red Bulls, you could have covered Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, some elements in Iraq. I already mentioned Jordan. We had forces as far out as Kazakhstan, and Lebanon, I believe, covers most of the countries we either supported through some type of exchange or actual training exercise or operational requirement. Yeah.
So those are 10 countries. The last time the division was overseas in Iraq, we had 8 provinces, and we thought 8 provinces was a lot to command and control. But you just listed 10 countries that you guys were involved in. So that's just amazing. It's a, I think it's a true testament to the professionalism and the expertise of the soldiers of that division.
General, I think we just had a geography lesson. I can picture the map, and of course, you're picturing it firsthand. You were there, and you've done it.
I had to mentally walk through that.
General Wickman, we just got a little over a minute left. While you were there, I know that one of the most important things is to keep focused on the mission and take care of the mission, get everybody home safe. It had to feel good to have all the Yellow Ribbon organizations and all the other support groups back here in Minnesota watching out for the families.
No, that's so true. You can't focus on – these are tough missions. You know, 2010, division's previous deployment, this one. You can't be successful without knowing that you've got the support of family, friends, communities, employers back home. And it's commented to me from other elements of the organization, commanders from RSENT, CENTCOM, who are so impressed with the amount of support that comes forward to the troops to enable them to do their job. And honestly, we couldn't do it without your all's help. And so we do this as a team, or we don't do it very well at all.
Well, General, we were thrilled on Minnesota Military Radio to follow you and get reports from the field once a month while you were over there. And we're even happier to have you and all your troops home safe. And what's next for the Red Bulls?
Oh, so you know, they'll go through a period of resiliency. We'll make sure that everybody is kind of set back, make sure everybody is in a good place as far as reintegrating with families and friends and employers. And that'll kind of take us through the fall. And then the division really kind of ramps right back up and starts to prepare for exercise rotations with one of its partners, First Corps, out of the state of Washington at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And that'll take us right through the next 2 years with multiple what we call warfighter, just heavy operational exercises, simulated exercises with some of our higher headquarters partners. So it's back, we just keep moving.
Work as usual, General Jensen. Training, 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 and get out there and take care of the mission.
The sun never sets on the Red Bulls, Tom.
Yes, sir. General Wickman, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
I'm honored.
And General Jensen, we have another guest, the family, the soldier and his wife coming on. We'll find out what that's like for them.
Very good.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, recording for the Minnesota State Fair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today live from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And my co-host on this show has been Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And General, we have one of your returning soldiers, Major Dave Adams, and his entire family here. And Sergeant Angelo is going to introduce them. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Elise.
Hi, I'm Amelia.
Hi, I'm Keaton.
Hi, I'm Brielle.
Oh, that's awesome. So Dave told me he brought four of his best 5 children, right? The rotten one had to stay home.
Oh, we're going to be in trouble now. The eighth grader made JV soccer.
Oh, that's great. Practice. That's great. What's her name?
Ava.
Ava. Well, great. Hey, Ava, when you hear this, congratulations on that. Sorry, we missed you.
And Dave, we missed you, but you've missed somebody. You better introduce your wife.
Yes, the mic skipped Patty. This is my beautiful wife, Patty.
Hello.
Hi, Patty. Patty, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Do you remember this guy?
Yes.
A little bit. Please have a seat here. We want to talk a little bit.
Hey, so for the Adams family, welcome to the State Fair Family Appreciation Day. I think for you and the kids, as I mentioned in the first segment to Tom, that for us, the State Fair is a family affair. It's always been. my wife and I and our kids. And so I think Family Appreciation Day is a great event to have here at the State Fair. Your guys' thoughts on that?
We love coming as a family, yeah. And that's how we like to come to the fair, and the kids enjoy doing that, and it's one of their favorite memories.
Yeah, it's a tradition summer. Every year, so that we can come on Military Appreciation Day is pretty great.
Yeah, no, it is. So now, Dave, just tell the team out there in Radio Land a little bit about what you did here recently for the Minnesota National Guard.
Sure. So I'm the Division Public Affairs Officer. So I work
natural fit to the radio. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So I work with an incredibly talented team. Who really tells the story of our soldiers when we go overseas so that we can help keep connected to people's families and employers back here, as well as put out, you know, a legitimate, truthful story of what our soldiers are doing, you know, to kind of counter, you know, negative propaganda that might come from other countries or other actors that are out there. So it's a pretty great job.
You're doing both. You're back here to Minnesota as well as stories, if you will, for our competitors to view as well.
Absolutely. So yeah. we kind of from the two front, you know, mission of it. We really want to show people why, you know, their loved ones and their employees are gone and the value that they're bringing. But absolutely at the same time, we want to counter. You know, and let people know why there are American soldiers, you know, in all these different parts of the Middle East and the great work that they're doing, not, you know, not some of the more stereotypical things like constantly just, you know, shooting guns and kicking down doors, but actually helping build up partner nations and making life better for people over there in the Middle East.
And before you became a public affairs officer, what was your branch?
So I was an armor officer, okay. And then I took a full-time job with the aviation brigade and became a logistician.
Yeah,
so
outstanding. Multi-talented Army National Guardsman right here.
Absolutely.
So, Patty, if I can get a word in here now. We know that he was on deployment. He got into a routine. He was over there taking care of himself, had some good people to work with. You're back here with your whole family, and you're a clinical operations manager for the Wayzata Children's Clinic. So you're working full-time, and you're taking care of the family. How was the other side of the deployment back here? Pretty busy, I'll bet.
It was busy, and it was hard to communicate at times. I mean, Facebook and FaceTiming and texting are great, but sometimes you need to discuss things. And, you know, with 8 or 9 hour time difference, it was difficult. He'd have to catch me before bed, or I'd have to catch him in the morning before he took off and was rushing out the door. So if you really had to discuss something, you sort of had to plan that. And then sometimes we'd plan it, and then there wouldn't be a good connection, and we'd have to hold off on that. So sometimes I would have to rely on, you know, family or my... I have a great friend support group that helped with things around the house or to discuss things, make decisions.
So how did your children take it with Dad gone for so long?
His three girls live about 2 hours away, and then my two go to their father's house about 3 hours away. So it was a lot of traveling and trying to... We did get together as, you know, as much as we could. About once a month we were all together in the same house, and that was important to us to stay together as a family unit and keep things moving that way.
And how have things changed since he returned from Kuwait?
He's a bit more mellow and maybe reset a little bit. And
it's temporary.
He's enjoying the simple things. Like when we drove home, he was impressed with all the green and could smell the lake and just love seeing the birds. And
it's not like the desert. It's not the desert.
It's not the desert.
Absolutely not the desert.
And all those camels and all those other things you found in Texas and in Kuwait that we saw on Facebook.
Right, right. And Tom, one thing Patty didn't mention that I want to make sure to point out is while I was gone, she navigated our oldest boy's college search completely by herself. She, you know, we have one of our daughters deals with diabetes and celiac disease, which... you know, is something that nobody should deal with alone. And so Patty, you know, spends a lot of time on that. So she was an absolute rock star, never complained about it. You know, you could definitely tell sometimes on those phone calls home that she was pretty stressed, but never a complaint. She just dealt with it and drove on and, you know, was very inspiring to me.
Yeah. Now that you're back, Major, are you dating your wife again, and you're trying to fit into your children's life again?
We're trying to find some time to go do some stuff, but we've just been going to all these different, you know, appointments for different things, and just the things we've had to do that we're really trying to make some plans and get out and spend a little time just the two of us.
Patty, we've been talking a lot today about the families and Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair, and a lot of organizations in Minnesota, the Yellow Ribbons and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Was it helpful to have all those resources available and fellow spouses of the deployed from the division?
We actually did use one of the financial counselors about just the college planning and around taxes, mm-hmm. around tax time and stuff like that. We did use one. We have a fairly newer house, but there were a few things that happened with the house, too, of course, while he was gone. But again, we have really good friends that help out and come together when you need help.
So you had a long to-do list for him to take care of while he's been on leave before he goes back to work.
Yes.
How's that going, Major?
We do.
Well, it's still there.
Yeah.
General, better have a chat with him before he comes back to work.
It's always there.
It's
You never get to the end of that. You don't want to.
Right.
You're afraid what happens next.
And we're trying to enjoy the summer in Minnesota before it ends.
I think that's the key part is, you know, a week from now, school will have started and the kids will be back and summer will be over. And so, take advantage of this great week we've had last week weather-wise, this week as well, although we did have some hail and rain a little bit ago.
We got a nice tent, General.
We got a nice tent, I know. Yeah.
So, Patty, I'm sure you're glad that he's back and you'll try to find a new normal. And
yes.
Once he settles down and gets back to his old self. Major, for anybody, there's a lot of deployments coming up for those families that are facing that. Do you have a fresh message to give them and some advice to give them now that you're back?
I think probably, when we go, we're consumed with the mission, and the organization. And it's very, very easy to focus on that almost exclusively. But when that mission is over, you come home to your family, not your fellow soldiers, not your leadership. I mean, it's clearly those relationships are very important. But keep that focus on your family because they're the most important thing in your life, and that's who you're going to come home to and, ideally spend many, many more years with. So don't let that slide. Keep the communication going and keep the focus back home as much as you can.
General, sounds like your public affairs officer has a message for future deployed troops.
Jeez, I wish I'd heard that a couple years ago. That's great advice. Let me tell you. How about Patty real quick, and what's the biggest thing you learned?
We really appreciate each other. I mean, I think we did before, but it kind of resets you and makes you realize what's important. And we do, leave the to-do list on the fridge and we come to the fair and enjoy it with our family. Yeah. And you really focus on what's important.
Yeah, fantastic.
Dave and Patty, thanks for sharing your story with us today and joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the kids, too. That was great.
And, General, coming up, we're going to speak with the governor, and I understand you have to get off to another meeting, so I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here with you again. Yeah, you take care.
Please stay with us. We'll be right back on Minnesota Military Radio from the State Fair. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, on today's show, recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And we've been talking to a lot of folks from the Minnesota National Guard, and we've got a very special guest on today who served in the Minnesota Army National Guard for many years, former Command Sergeant Major. Used to refer to him as his highest title, but now we have to say Mr. Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz. Governor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be with you, and, of course, thanks for all you do.
Governor, this is a big day at the State Fair. It's become a tradition over the last few years, Military Appreciation Day, and you've been going all over the fair. There was a big ceremony this morning.
Oh, it's fabulous. I can't – all the folks that make this happen, but if you were over there, I said everything that's right about this country was over there in the park, and to watch the folks, and we're celebrating military families, which of course all your listeners know are absolutely foundational to making our national security work. You can't deploy if you don't think about the whole family, and Minnesota does that better than anybody. And that ceremony over there was spectacular. It was a great opportunity to see a lot of folks say thank you, but to gather in one place.
And Governor, you know a lot about this. You're Minnesota's 41st governor. You were involved. You're a high school teacher and football coach. And you served 24 years in the Army National Guard, and you're a former Command Sergeant Major, and of course you've been deployed. So you know that when our soldiers and airmen deploy, the families sacrifice as well.
They do, and we were just welcoming back some of the Red Bulls, and they've been gone for 10 months. And people say 10 months, they don't mean to kind of dismiss it, but that was first steps, first words, somewhere in there the water heater broke, might have tragedy in your family, and yet they still need to carry out the mission. So I understand what comes with this job, and at the top of that list is Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard. And so this morning, the opportunity to welcome them back, they brought back the flag that flew in the Middle East, presented the Minnesota flag back to me, and more importantly, gave me an opportunity to thank them and their commanders. We brought back the sons and daughters of Minnesota, every one of them, and the world's a little safer and a little better because of their work.
Well, Governor, we talk on this show a lot about those who serve and those who sacrifice and the deployments that have gone on since September 11, 2001. The reason people are out here at the fair today having fun and enjoying themselves is because of that 1%, those folks that do serve to keep our country free and keep our country the best democracy in the world.
That's exactly right. And I said, you know, people freely came over to watch that ceremony, but not having to think about all the things that military families have to think about, that's one of the greatest gifts they give to the 99%, to be able to free your mind from that and spend time with your family, go to a birthday party, come out to the state fair and get some food. I think it's easy to get complacent and to not have to think about it. So I think with the state fair and all the folks involved in this and sponsors like USAA were over there to make sure that we don't forget and we have an opportunity to say thanks.
Governor, I want to ask you, you've been on the show a few times when you were in the United States House of Representatives and you were on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and now you're the governor of the state of Minnesota. A little bit different from being out in Congress to being here running the whole state?
It's different. I think it was good experience to know. We have a genius of our system allows us to have split government, and the legislative branch is one thing. I also, now being on the other side of it, get a little bit frustrated with how slow that can work. But the one thing that's the same here as it was in D.C., there's no division when it comes to veterans and military affairs. Commissioner Herkey pushed a budget through that got unanimous votes in the House and Senate. It was the first one to move through. It was widely praised by everyone who understands what we're trying to do, and it was common. So I think that part of it, there are differences, but when it comes to support of the military and the camaraderie around that mission, that's exactly the same.
We're speaking with Governor Tim Walz from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. Governor, you spent a lot of years in the military. Is there a big history of military in your family?
My father was Korean War veteran and had uncles that did it. I think it when it does become that kind of history, and I can still remember the day with clarity now looking back, the day or so after I turned 17, my dad took me over to a neighboring town about 40 miles away. We got a lieutenant off his tractor from a neighboring town, and he administered the oath of office on the edge of an alfalfa field in Springview, Nebraska. And I don't remember it being a whole lot of dinner discussions around our house. It was more like, on this day, we're going to go, and you're going to sign up, and you're going to do your service, and they're going to do more for you than you'll do for them. You're going to get a GI Bill. And you're going to get an education from it. So that was in our family. I lost my father when he was pretty young. A few years after that, I didn't ask all the questions we should ask. So I over there this morning, when we get a chance to be around these Korean and World War II veterans, Vietnam veterans, ask them to tell their stories. Tell the stories of what it is, so we don't forget them and we know. And so in our family, it's what we did. And you serve.
So, Governor, looking back on your life and your career in the Army and your career in Congress, all this kind of added up to all the experience you need to be a good governor of the state of Minnesota and a state that's blessed with the facilities such as Camp Ripley where we can train.
No, I'd like to think so. And I remind people we have the one of the largest National Guards in the country. We have probably, if not the best, I would say one of the best reputations for carrying out missions. It is a professional force. You're right about the investments. And what's so interesting about Minnesota is we're really well known for being able to carry out these missions. We have no federal bases here. We don't have those assets, but the state has invested in them. And I know your listeners are a pretty select group that understands this, but to tell the story about Camp Ripley and the sites we have, really important.
Great facility, one of the best in the country, if not the best.
Absolutely.
Governor, we've had on the show quite often General Lloyd Holt from the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and of course Commissioner Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and they tell us that you've made eliminating veteran homelessness one of your priorities.
It is, and these are folks that it's me kind of gathering in as a force multiplier. They've been working on this. We're doing it about, I would argue this one, not about, we're best in the country. It's eliminating it. It's making sure we know people fall through the cracks. We've reduced the number from about 1,800 to just a little over 200, I think 215 or so. We know what we need to do. We know how to deliver the services, and we know that it's our moral responsibility to do this. It also just makes great sense. These are good employees. These are folks that deserve to be back in the workforce or to get over those demons that are kind of challenging them. So we're going to get this done. We're not setting a date certain because it's about accomplishing the mission and when that takes it. But I hope to be back with you and we can talk about when that day comes.
Governor, we hope to have you back on the show as often as possible. One last question. We've got a lot of organizations in Minnesota, MACV, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Yellow Ribbon Communities, Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Seems to me from the reports that we've given over the last 9 years, Minnesota's way ahead of most of the rest of the country in taking care of our veterans and their families.
We clearly are, and I think this is a history lesson as a governor to point out. The Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program was started by one of my predecessors in Governor Polanyi. It was furthered under Governor Dayton, and now it's my responsibility to take that up. That is now a model that is reflected in all the states and territories across the country, and I think it shares our values. If you're willing to serve, Minnesotans are willing to be there for you and your family.
It's got to feel good to lead a great state with some wonderful people taking care of our military and their families, sir.
Proud to do it, and I want to live up to their expectations.
Governor, I know it's a busy day. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, guys.
Joining me again is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Had some other things he had to do at the fair. And in the meantime, General, we had Governor Tim Walz on and had a nice interview with him. He's very supportive of everything in Minnesota National Guard, and he's trying to eliminate the veterans' homelessness. And he and Commissioner Herkey sound like they're on the same page. And, of course, I think Commissioner Herkey was a sergeant or an NCO
Battery commander. When Governor Walz was the first sergeant. Yep. So
it's upside down. He was the boss, and now he's working for the boss.
That's right.
And we found...
That's why I came back, Tom. I saw this guy you were dragging into the radio show. I thought I might, you know, get one last shot in.
Well, he's a former state command sergeant major on terminal leave because he's going into retirement. And still kind of got a military haircut, but it's Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Welcome back to the show, Sergeant Major.
Hey, Tom. It's great to be back. It's wonderful to be out here at the State Fair with you as you're recording this segment. And, you know, what a wonderful day to come out here and appreciate our military families and our service members, our veterans, and get the opportunity to spend some time on the air with the Adjutant General. I don't know that you and I have been able to do this yet.
No, I don't think we've ever done anything live. So I'm going to ask you a really hard question here. I think it's an important question. So you are almost done with your transition coming off of military service now into civilian. So talk about that transition. Give our people who are beginning maybe that transition or will about start that transition, give them a couple lessons you learned from your transition.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I would tell you the first thing, the first piece of advice that I have to anybody that's getting ready to transition is to make sure that you take serious the opportunities that presented or offered to you in that transition process. You know, we have the Soldier for Life or the Transition Assistance Program, and when you go through that that process, you need to pay attention and listen to the advice that they're giving you so you can get the thing squared away for you that will help the transition much better. For example, the resume process and just about the whole networking process and how to transition into that civilian life. And it's extremely important, you know, the relationships and so on.
And starting early is important as well.
Starting early is extremely important. Yep, it's not too early to start that networking. And I would say that, 18 months, 24 months out, even earlier if possible. But you got to really start thinking about it and putting the time in and paying attention to what it is that you want to do and then start making those connections.
And Sergeant Major, you're starting a new career.
I will be starting a new career. I've got a great opportunity to work for a company called Think Great, and we're going to be doing some professional development with both individuals and companies to help them with their leadership development, sales, marketing, and also strategic planning. So really looking forward to that opportunity.
We've talked about that before, you and I, and that sounds like it's going to be a great fit for you and provide a little bit of flexibility. And our listeners probably want to know, they've been listening to you for years now as the Command Sergeant Major, but I think there's an opportunity to have you come back and join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
There absolutely is. You know, we're working through the details, and I'm certainly looking forward to the opportunity to come back and be a little bit more active on that side of the table or on that side of the microphone with Minnesota Military Radio. General Jensen and I have talked about this many times, and you know what, when you get to a certain level in our organization, you know, I'd argue at almost every level, but particularly at this level, you got to stay connected. And I know that through Minnesota Military Radio, that's going to be one of the best ways I personally can stay connected with the Minnesota National Guard, our organization, and then continue to help and serve not only the citizens of Minnesota, but also our service members and veterans and families and employers.
General, we've been at this show for 9 years, and I want to continue as long as I can, but I'm a little older than the rest of you, so we've got two of your former soldiers working as hosts in training, and Sergeant Major is one, and the former Major Jason McBurley is another, and hopefully they can fill in for me so I can take my wife somewhere warm
in the wintertime. Tom, my advice is look both ways before you cross the street. They may be coming at you a little bit faster than you think.
Well, if I call for help, sir, I'm going to need you. Sergeant Major, I wish you all the best and look forward to working in the future. And General, thanks once again
thanks,
for co-hosting this show from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Brigadier General Mike Wickman, Major Dave Adams and his wife Patty, Governor Tim Walz, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we record from Nisswa at the Fall Conference for our Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.